This is a CBC podcast. Your community, your environment, your business. They all connect to make up the world we live in. Now, IBM wants to give you the tools to help build a smarter planet. Join the conversation for change. Learn more by visiting cbc.ca/smartshift.
In the past 12 months, David Noble, my next guest, has witnessed global warming from both polar caps. He's walked on them. David is a Canadian founder of the group 2 Degrees C, and he's in St. John's to speak at the Geocentre tonight on global warming. The title of his talk is Where Climate Change Meets Sustainable Inspiration. And David is live in the studio with me. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you.
What is the significance of 2 Degrees C?
2 Degrees C is the magic number. Scientists have been talking about 2 Degrees C for almost 20 years. They say at 2 degrees of global warming temperature increase, that's the point at which we start to risk catastrophic climate change.
Okay.
So we're talking about an increase of mean global temperatures of 2 degrees C above the pre-industrial temperatures. So if we go past 2 degrees C, that's where we start to get into those risks of catastrophic climate change.
And the science, the evidence is piling up. We're moving closer.
The evidence is piling up, sadly. For a long time, scientists have been saying 2 degrees C. There was a poll. 90% of scientists back in March said there's very little chance that we're going to limit global warming to 2 degrees C. 40% of them said technically it's possible. 90% of them said we don't have the political and social will. And then in September of this year, some of the most recent science came out, some of the most frightening science. One incredibly well-respected scientist said you can forget about 2 degrees C. We're looking at upwards of 4 degrees C of warming by the 2050s, which is absolutely remarkable.
I want to talk about a couple of our stories, or let you talk about them. We're hearing in our national news today that strike right to your heart. But just a little bit more about you. You started out as one individual who felt, I got to do something, I guess. Can you talk about that and what's happened to your group? Look what 2 Degrees C has become now. Yeah. Because you're international.
Yeah, it's quite bizarre. When I started, I didn't have a great plan, to be perfectly honest. I stumbled into what I do. I picked up a little contract. One thing led to another. I had a pretty intense formative experience early on. I went almost 2 months and I didn't do much productive. The phone didn't ring. I was trying to get work and the phone didn't ring, and I felt pretty inconsequential in the world, to be honest. At the end of 2 months, over that period, I had this intense formative experience. I needed to do something worthwhile that became very important to me. And that set me on the course that I'm on now. For the last 7 years, I've been working on climate change. It seems to be as important an issue as any, and it seems to be a great way to hopefully contribute something worthwhile to the world. We grew from, it started out just as me. We went up to about 6 people at one point as part of the core team. Mm-hmm. We're back down a bit smaller now. But in that time, we've also kind of evolved into a networked practice. We have partners all over the world. We do all sorts of different work all over the world, mostly public sector work, trying to strengthen the public response, the global public collective response to climate change.
Yeah, your topic tonight is where climate change meets sustainable inspiration. What is sustainable inspiration? What do you mean?
We need to, the climate crisis is so big now, we need to respond on such a scale and with such urgency. We need to breathe life into our collective response. We need to do it now, and we need to keep doing it. We're not going to solve climate change in the next year. We're not going to solve climate change in the next 5 years. We have to fundamentally change how it is collectively. Nearly 7 billion people live on this planet. The only way we're going to do that is to start now, to inspire that incredible response now, but to sustain that inspired response.
Well, here, right down to it now, because how do you confront the reality that thousands, maybe millions, have a vested interest in continuing to use fossil fuels even at the rates we use them?
Yeah, I don't think we know how. If we did, we would have probably solved it. The reality is our entire existence is predicated on an abundant supply of cheap fossil fuels, and we know that. And we have to come to terms with that. Nobody's had that conversation in an honest way. I've been, one of the things I'll do tonight, the thing I've been doing all across the country, and this is, I think this is my 15th talk. Each talk I start exactly the same way. I say, my name's David. I want to start with a question. How do you feel about climate change? And I've gotten some incredible responses. I've heard from people all across the country. I started my tour in Alberta. Mm-hmm. I did 7 events in Alberta. I asked them, how do you feel about climate change? And I'm hearing more or less the same thing. People feel scared, anxious, worried, confused. One person said, I feel like I can't be sustainable because I live in a broken society. So people are really starting to, in a very personal way, they're starting to have this conversation. I think internally we haven't had it in a public way, but people are trying to reconcile the fact that they're part of this society that is built on cheap fossil fuels, and a growing recognition, a growing acceptance that's a problem.
What did you hear in our national news? Because you heard that coming in this morning.
Well, this morning Sheila Watt Cloutier was on, and she said we need to change the discussion from a discussion that's based principally on economics.
And she studies our north.
Right. What's happening? She's living it. She's trying to live in our north, which is a place where lots of people are trying to live, and they're finding it more and more difficult to do so. She said we need to change from this being an economic issue to a human rights issue. And I couldn't agree with her more. I think it really unlikely that historians are ever going to look back on this period and say, you know what? You know, unfortunately, the economics of living just didn't work out. It's really unfortunate for all of those people, for the whole species, the economics of living didn't work out. I think people are going to look back and they're going to, if we respond the way that we need to, with the kind of courage and strength and generosity, great. And if we fail to, historians will say, this was wrong. Yeah, this was wrong.
I listened to that report as well, and I hadn't heard it quite expressed as a human rights issue like that before. That was that's going to be significant as we roll along there.
Let me tell you a very funny, this was a bit of a concerning story. I started an organization called 2 Degrees C. This year, of course, the G8 and the Major Economies Forum agreed that 2 degrees C, they agreed in policy that should be the uppermost amount of warming. So that was kind of good news, I think, from a branding perspective. Great stuff. Last year, the small island states, indigenous peoples globally, the Inuit in the north, started to say, you know what, at 2 degrees C, we're going to have coral reefs dying, we're going to have islands going extinct from sea level rise. At 2 degrees C, we're going to have fundamental violations of fundamental human rights. 1.5 is what we should do, what we should work towards. So it's kind of, you know, even at 2 degrees C, we're looking at an awful lot of potential bad for tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people globally.
I have to leave it there for this morning. Always engaging to talk to you. Appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
David Noble, the Canadian founder of 2 degrees C, an organization dedicated to inspiring public discussion about climate change. His talk tonight starts at 7:30 at the GO Center, and admission is free.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.